He explains to Jesus, you're not going anywhere without me. I like that. Why can't I follow you? I would die for you, Lord. I would lay down my life for you. And Peter meant every single of those, one of those words. You know that. So from his heart, he means it. He's just dead wrong. But he means it. I say things to the Lord all the time, and I mean it. And then it doesn't happen. I'm too scared.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts. As we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse by verse, through the Bible. Jesus and the disciples are in the upper room for the Last Supper as our study of John continues in chapter 13, verse 21. Here's Pastor Bob.
Verse 21. When Jesus had thus spoken or said, he was troubled in his spirit, in his heart, in his soul. And he testified, he spoke about it. And he said, truly, truly, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another. They looked at each other, doubting of whom he spoke. They've been together 3.5 years. They know each other well, they think, right? So they have no idea who he's talking about. Judas knows. He knows exactly what he's doing. But here's the deal. You're going to find something about you and me, and they're going to show it to us. Jesus says, this is the very truth. One of you will betray me. It's a matter of fact. It's absolutely for sure. It's the truth. Truly, truly. One of you will betray me. That's tonight. Tonight that someone's going to do that. Now, we see here, as we've been told and what we know, we see here once again, Jesus is fully God. How could he know the heart of every apostle? He is God Almighty in human flesh, but he is also fully human. And he proves that to us right there that he's both. He knows something no one could possibly know. None of the others know it, and they've been hanging out with each other for the last three and a half years. None of the others have a clue, but Jesus does. Why? Because he is fully God and he is fully man. He has emotions just like most of you, doesn't he? How do I know? Well, I'll read it to you. When Jesus had thus spoken, verse 21, he was troubled in his heart, in his spirit, and he said so. This is bothering me. Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you shall betray me. It's hurting him. I know you've never been hurt, but if you ever get hurt, you'll know what that feels like. How do you handle it? And some people can't handle emotions. They just crack up. And some keep it all on the inside and tell jokes from 62. But everybody feels it. Everybody feels it. Jesus is fully God. He knows. And he is fully man. He feels that this is hurting him. Someone he loves is going to betray him. He has emotions, like we all do. But he handles them so well, so correctly, that somebody he loves so dearly is going to betray him. It troubled his heart. It hurt him. God has his feelings hurt. Would you? Are you kidding? We'd put it on Facebook. We'd put it in the paper. We'd just spread the word. You ever get embarrassed at how you're thinking? How you're acting, how you're dealing with stuff. You're letting these little nothings turn into big somethings, mountains, out of molehills. And that's hard. You got to work to make a mountain out of a molehill. But we do it, don't we? And it's all emotion. It's all built up in there. He's troubled in his heart. But this is hard here. So everybody take your own heart into account. I have to take mine. You take yours. I know you're born again. You're just as saved as everybody else. I'm not suggesting you're not. I'm just saying, how about for a moment we act like we could be just like these people in that upper room? Here is an example to me and to you, if you will receive it, of how close a person can come to salvation and still be lost forever. He walked closely with Jesus for 3.5 years. Jesus' whole public ministry, Judas was a part of every bit of it. Every bit of it. Just like a lot, me and you, we've been walking with him for years now. Some of you. So how scary is that? Here is how close a person can come to salvation and still be lost for eternity. Judas was the one who carried the money for the ministry. He's the treasurer of the group. He is the most trusted, most respected of the whole group. If there's anybody you could trust carrying the money, it's Judas. And who was the thief? Judas. Who knew it? Only Jesus. How many times do you see in Jesus' public ministry, does he rebuke Judas for stealing? None. That's what's freaking out the other 11. They have no clue who he could be talking about, because every one of them knows that every one of them is trustworthy. They just don't know hearts. We, as Christians, have a tendency to pretend that we do know hearts, and we don't. The only heart you can deal with is yours. The only heart I can deal with is mine. You could say that you love the Lord. I could say, well, everyone can say they love the Lord. But sooner or later, God's going to point out, no, you don't. And he's pointing it out now. The treasurer of the group, very respected by his fellow disciples. Jesus knew Judas was stealing money, and he let him. Would you, if it was your money? Then we're nothing like Jesus yet, are we? Are we? Well, we got to be wisdom. You got to use your head. You got to besides something besides in your space. I've heard it all. I know. I can read you the scriptures you're going to quote to me. I know. Think it through, everybody. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love never demands its own way. Love never fails. It doesn't brag. It's not haughty or proud. Love isn't happy when Judas is stealing and getting away with it. Love isn't happy because of that. Mr. Ironside wrote, when you and I think about the privileges that Judas had and realize how those privileges and blessings meant nothing to him, it should cause each one of us individually to examine ourselves and ask the Lord, search my heart. Why couldn't I be like Judas? I wouldn't know it if I was, would I? Maybe, maybe not. How about you? You say, well, don't you worry, I'm safe. Good. I would still be taking it to the Lord, wouldn't you? King David wrote a little while back, Psalm 139, 23, 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Because David doesn't know his heart. I'd love to tell you how I love you, and I love to tell you all about that. But Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. If you find something, Lord, let me confess it, because I want to keep walking in the way everlasting. Two things are happening right there in those two verses we just read. One, Judas knows full well what he's planning to do, doesn't he? He's already set it up with the high priests. He's already set up part of it. He's just waiting for an opportunity to get the job done. They already gave him some money. Judas knows. Now, I know that you and me, we're Christians, we have never thought about sinning and then doing it. True? He knows full well what he's planning. And here, right now, in the upper room, Jesus gives him an opportunity to change his mind. Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Judas knew exactly who it was. No, he's going to not let on. But isn't this, God gives him another opportunity to say, you know, lousy idea. You know what I ought to do? This is, I'm an idiot. I'm going to ask the Lord, let me get out for a minute. I'm going to go give the money back and say I changed my mind because I can't do this. See, that's what's going on. Now there's a battle going on inside of Judas. Nobody else, they got a different battle going on. But inside of Judas, he knows what he's going to do. Should he do it? Here's an opportunity to drop the idea, to stop it, to repent from the evil he's planning to do. Now, think about it. Now, Judas knows for sure that Jesus knows for sure. Right? Jesus just said it out loud. I know what you're going to do. I know what one of you is going to do. And Judas knows who the one is. Nobody else does. Judas does. Here's his chance. Will Judas change his mind? Have a change of heart? Here's his chance. Realizing he's been caught, Jesus knows what I'm going to do. I know that you have never sinned knowing it was wrong and knowing that Jesus knows that it's wrong. I know that you quit right away, didn't you? No. That's what sin is. Rebellion, right? That's Judas. These are lessons for Bob. These are lessons for you if we can hear them. It's up to Judas to decide. Jesus will not take Judas's free will from him. He knows what Judas will do. It's up to Judas to decide. It's God's grace and mercy and love and kindness giving Judas this opportunity to drop it and leave it alone and turn. And when he gets a few minutes, get all alone with Jesus and say, it was me, I'm the jerk, I'm the idiot, please have mercy. And Jesus would have smiled and said, come on, let's walk, right? That's number one, what's going on. But there's two things going on. Now Judas is fighting with Judas. He's fighting in his own heart. I've done it, have you done it? Number two, what's going on in that upper room? The disciples are shocked, completely shocked. It's like, this came out of nowhere. We have no idea what you are talking about, Lord. The looks on their faces would have said every bit of that. Because here's what we read. Then the disciples looked at each other, doubting whom he spoke. Looking at each other like, what? Who? How could that be? They are confused. They have no idea who Jesus is talking about. And when they looked and doubted whom he spoke about, the Bible tells is basically saying each disciple thought about themselves instantly. They look like, who could it be? And the Bible tells us they were afraid it might be them. Each man was afraid it might be him. That is where we need to get to. That's the humility we need. If someone comes in and says, one of you Christians is a cheater, we shouldn't go, who is it? We should go, well, let me read it to you. Matthew 26, chapter 26, verses 20 through 22. When the evening was come, Jesus sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, truly I say to you, one of you shall betray me. Now look at verse 22. They were exceeding sorrowful and began everyone to say to Jesus, Lord, is it me? That's what you're reading in chapter 13, verse 22. The disciples looked at one another, doubting whom he spake. It was, oh, wait a minute. And I love that heart. We need it. The language is literally, it's not, the language, if you read it in American, in just plain American, would be, Lord, it's not me, is it? The idea is, please, I am such a dummy. Please tell me I'm not going to do that. two, you see the heart? In humility, they search their own hearts. The one who is not in humility is not even searching his own. He knows what he's going to do, and he's got a chance to repent or not. You know what he's going to choose. But the disciples, they ask the Lord, it's not me, is it? The idea is, please say, it's not me. Would I do something that horrible? Am I capable of doing that? Oh, Lord, it's not me, is it? I would hope for me and you, that would be our response too. If God says, one of you is a dummy, I go, Lord, is it me again? Instead of me looking around for some dummy. Get it? That's where the heart comes in. That's where humility lies. That's where humility lives, right there. The disciples, and think about it, are sort of wise enough. They still got a long way to grow. Don't get me wrong. You'll see in a moment. Peter, he's still a little confused about himself. But the disciples are by asking him, is it me? They are showing you that they didn't trust themselves. When am I going to get into trouble? When will you get into trouble, Christian? When you trust your own ability, when you trust in yourself to do the right, instead of running to the Lord praying, Lord, just what do I do? Where's my heart? Change my heart. Please don't tell me it's me. I think that's the heart, and God is showing us, of a true disciple of Jesus Christ. That's why I think you hear Paul say things about himself that you would disagree with. Like he would say, I'm the chief of all sinners. Paul would say, I don't even know what I'm capable of, but I know what he did in the past. I was putting Christians to death, putting Christians in prison. He goes, I'm ashamed. He never got over that for himself. He talked about that many times in letters. He has forgiven and he knew it, but he just never got over that in his own heart. So verse 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. We're told at the end of the book, that disciple's name is John, who's writing this book, by the way, this gospel. Simon Peter, therefore, beckoned to him, to John, that he should ask Jesus who it should be, and whose he's talking, who it should be of whom he spoke. Ask Jesus. He's kind of probably mouthing to John. Now, while everybody else is, talking and murmuring and this, he kind of gets John's attention and he says, ask Jesus, who is it? He then, John, lying on Jesus' breast, in other words, he just leaned back against Jesus. Jesus was to his left, it looks like, leaned back right against him and said to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered. Now, they're privately speaking to one another. This is quiet. All 12 can't hear this. They're probably talking among themselves going, oh, this is scary. This is freaky, Well, Jesus answered quietly. This is not publicly because everybody knows. It is to whom I shall give a dipped, dip a piece of bread. The one I give it to is the one who will betray me. And when he had dipped the sop, the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Jesus knows my sin. Jesus knows your sin. We're not sneaking it past him. We can sneak it past everybody else, but we can't sneak it past Jesus. Jesus knows. And he's still under the opportunity to repent. He says, don't do this. It's the wrong thing to do, Judas. But it's up to Judas. The tables that they were sitting around, normally, standardly, you even see it in pictures, or you even see it in little carvings from a couple thousand years ago. You see, they were in the shape of a U, or you could say rounded more, almost like a horseshoe, kind of. And so there were 12 guys all the way around. So Peter may have been sitting on the outer edge here and could be looking almost straight at John and Jesus, and he could get John's attention easy. And the tables were low, and the people didn't sit in chairs. They did in some homes, but for the dinner table, mostly they were like little couch pillows or couchy kind of pillows where you could sit on it and lean back on it too, and you sat together around the table. So Jesus being right next to him, John didn't have to get up or turn all the way around. He could just lean over and quietly say to Jesus, "Who?" And Jesus could say quietly back because Judas looks like he's right next to Jesus. So you got Jesus, Judas, Jesus, and John, and then around here somewhere or around there, Peter out there looking back. So they communicate with one another. So they've got these big pillows, very comfortable. John is sitting right next to Jesus. Peter just mentions to John, motions to him and says, "Ask him." John simply just leans back. Now he's right up against Jesus. Jesus is sitting right next to him. He just leans in the little pillow. He leans over and he asks him, "Who is it, Lord?" Now, the dinners, the customs of these dinner are also important here, this Jewish dinner that they were celebrating, Passover, etc., and the Feast of Unleavened Bread coming up. It's customary at this main dinner that the host of the dinner, which was Jesus, right? The host would normally, it was just a custom, the host, the one who gave the dinner, would give the honored guest or the guest of honor at the dinner table a piece of bread dipped in the sauce. He would give it to the guest of honor first. So Jesus is the host of the dinner. He said, "I'm glad I've wanted to eat this dinner with you. I've set it up." So Jesus is having the dinner, and the guest of honor is who? Judas. That's embarrassing, isn't it, if you're Judas? And now Jesus gives him this bread dipped in as the honored guest. Now how you feel about it? You put that in there, hard to swallow, huh? Because he knows what he's going to do. Jesus knows what he's going to do. He knows Jesus knows. And Jesus gives him that to give him a special place. Jesus says, "It's the one that I give the piece of bread to." Jesus dipped the bread, gave it to Judas, the honored guest at the table. Another chance to have a change of heart. "We honor you, Judas. I'm glad to be sitting right here next to you. That you're right there at the head of the table, the important part of the table." And Jesus is the host, and he gives it to Judas. Judas has another chance, everybody. Just like I get chances, you get chances, we get chances. Judas has another chance. Jesus dipped that bread and gave it to Judas, the honored guest. Another chance to repent. Would you? Maybe I should ask me, would I have that kind of grace toward Judas? Someone who I know is trying to destroy me and have me killed, would I be able to show that kind of grace? Would you, forget me, how about you? Would you have that kind of grace? Or would you want them arrested right now? Or would you want them out of your life and don't even want to look at their face? What would you do? Would we have had that much love, that much grace, and that much mercy? Jesus does. My Father in heaven does. That's the only reason I'm here. What about you? And he gave us love. Like the song says, nobody even prayed for us. Nobody would give us the time of day. And Jesus saved our lives.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is the radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.